Tonight to Psalm number 1. This summer, in Sunday School Hour, we're probably going to have a series during the summer on the book of Psalms. And Psalms are a much read portion of Scripture, but it is a great, there's a lot of truth about the book of Psalms that many times we don't understand, or insights that would help us to make our reading the book of Psalms much more of a blessing and more helpful. And I'll be preaching on some of the key Psalms as well during that time. But tonight we're going to turn to Psalm number 1, which is the introductory psalm to the book of Psalms. And actually there are two introductory books or chapters or psalms to the book of Psalms, Psalm 1 and Psalm number 2. Neither one of them have a superscription that tell us anything about them like many of the other psalms. And part of that is the fact that these really introduce the book of Psalms as a whole. Now, you know, the book of Psalms is far more than just nice devotional material. The book of Psalms has great, great truth in it. And the book of Psalms is a important part of the Bible, obviously. And as we look at Psalm number 1, we want to think about the overview of the book of Psalms. And sometimes people think of the book of Psalms as just, like I said, kind of devotional material and has no real big substance, but is nice little blessing that you read, and you know, you kind of got your devotions for the day done, you read a psalm, and everything is fine. But Psalm number 1 gives us a real startling introduction to the book of Psalms, because Psalm number 1 tells us that one of the main subjects of the book of Psalms, the main subject, is the wicked and the righteous. That is the main subject of one of the main subjects of the book of Psalms, the righteous and the wicked. And you just stop right there, and all of a sudden, this nice little a devotion book that makes you feel good. A lot of people, wait a minute, this is down into some really nitty gritty stuff here. This is giving us the view of God. This is giving us the battle of life. This is dealing with the realities of the battle of walking with God. And so we have in this passage of Scripture, we have the righteous and the wicked. We see that in a number of places. But notice verse 5, it says, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And here we find the introduction to the book of Psalms, a tremendous contrast and the realities of life. And in life, there are the wicked and there are the righteous. And one of the main subjects of the Psalms is the reality of the wicked and the reality of the righteous, and that is one of the main issues of life. So, as we look at this introduction, hopefully it puts us in a little bit of shocking reality of what this book is about. Okay? And it gives us God's view of life. So, my experience over the years, many times young ladies, I'm not trying to say anything about young ladies, but I'm talking about, you know, teenage or younger, they get caught in the thing of reading the book of Psalms, and that's their devotions. And they kind of, you know, and maybe you're a lady and you get caught into that. I just ask you a question. In your reading of the Psalms, is that the analysis you've gotten? Is that what you've gotten away from the book of Psalms? That life is about the wicked and the righteous, and the contrast between the two. Now, if you haven't gotten that, you've been missing something in your devotions, and you've been missing something as you read the book of Psalms. All right? So, introduction to a book is an overview. You know, you read a book. You read a book. One of the first things you do when you get a book, you're supposed to read the preface, right? Okay? Because that gives you the overview of the book. It helps you understand what you're about to read. Well, Psalm 1 is a preface to the book of Psalms. Now, there's a lot of applications to this book. And we know that the book of Psalms is our psalms that were sung in the worship of God. And I think one of the applications, and you probably heard this before, have been here around, is that this whole idea of music is a very serious thing. And this psalm tells us who can worship God with music. And maybe another application is what kind of person should be writing music that to worship God with. I think this gives us some insight to that. And typically today you have some person who's been in a rock band get saved and then they start writing music. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What does this psalm tell us? So, first of all, we're introduced to the two kinds of people, one that are blessed and the kind that isn't blessed. Okay? We read about that there's two kinds of people in this world. There are the blessed and there are those that are not blessed. We read about, we're introduced to the characteristic activity of the person who is blessed, what he doesn't do, and then what he does do. Okay? And so the first two verses introduced to us the main characters of life, human life. There people are in one of these two categories in life. Now, first of all, it's obvious that it tells us there's some things that the blessed man doesn't do. Okay? And as he tells us what the blessed man doesn't, it identifies him, it tells us about what he doesn't do. And then it, in the process, it's telling us about the wicked, and it tells us the three kinds of wicked people. Okay? And the activity, the relationship that the blessed man doesn't have with these wicked people, and the relationship that those who are going to pass from the realm of blessed to the wicked, the stages in which they go. and it also gives us stages or degrees of sin. All right? And so all of that is in the first two verses. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now notice the verbs. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, notice the progression here. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly. That's a verb. Then there is a verb, standing in the way of sinners. And then sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now, it gives us a progression of the downfall of a righteous man, or maybe even a young person who's raised in a Christian home and has been given an opportunity to live for God. And it tells us the progression of getting away from God. But it also tells us how a blessed person can get away from the place of blessing and into the place of the world. Okay? No, so first of all, they're walking in the counsel. They're listening to the counsel of the ungodly. They're listening to the counsel, the advice, the words, the thinking of the ungodly, the unsaved, the world. You know, there's a danger reading too many books. You better watch out who they are written by. There's the listening to the counsel of the ungodly, thinking, considering, and starting to have your pathway modified by the advice, by the teaching, by the instruction of the world, of the lost, of those who are without God, those who do not love godliness. That's where it starts. And then it says, then the next step is standing in the way of sinners. Now, the idea here is peoples whose lives are characterized by sinful lifestyle. And not only, now not only merely listening to them, but associating with them. Associating with them. Comfortable being around them in their sinful lifestyle. Comfortable around, you know, it's true. Birds of a feather flock together. It's always been true. Birds of a feather flock together. Who you like to be around and who you like to be associated with in life tells us who you are. It tells us who you are. It also tells us what direction you're going. And, they're just friends. That's exactly what it's saying. Standing in the way of sinners. Standing in the way of sinners. And then the next step is sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now, sitting in the seat, you know, it's like a council. You're sitting at a council. You know, you got this group of people sitting together in a council, and they're making plans. They are deciding, et cetera, et cetera. The scornful. Who's the scornful? The Bible talks about the scornful. The scornful are those who are against God. They mock godliness. They make fun of religion. They make fun of the godly. They are anti. Now, so first they're just kind of listening to them, and then they're associating with them, and now they've come to the place where they are agreeing with the mockers. The mockers. And, you know, Christianity, I mean, there's a lot of people who've had an association with Christianity, and they began to listen to the world, and then they began to stand in the path of the sinful, and then pretty soon they are agreeing with the scorner, the mocker of God, the mocker of the things of holiness. And we see this progression. And the Bible says, blessed is the man, has nothing to do with this. You know, this is just plain fact. This is just plain fact. You want to be blessed, this is not where you go. Here, in other words, you could read it this way. Unblessed is the man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly. Unblessed is the man that stands in the way of sinners. Unblessed is a man who sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, or you could put it the other way. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the godly. Blessed is a man who walks in the counsel of the godly. I remember this one dear soul one time said, Pastor, you know, we ought to have a class where the older ladies, women, teach the younger ladies. And, you know, that sounds pretty spiritual, right? You know, it's in the Bible. Well, when an older Christian lady would try to tell this lady something, she wouldn't listen. She didn't want someone to tell her how to live. No way. No way. No. This is supposed to be, you know, it's ridiculous. But people think that way today. But he stands in the way of holy people. Not sinners, but holy people. You know, what do you mean by that? I say, you know, if you want to find out who your real friends are, I say, kneel at the cross, surrender your life to Christ, and then just lift up your eyes and see who's with you kneeling. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's saying. Blessed is the man who stands in the way of the righteous, those who are committed to doing what is right. Committed. Now, and then sits not in the seat of the scornful, but they sit in the seat of those who are gathering together to determine to do the will of God and how to serve God and how to be holy. And then that's about tearing down standards and tearing down what's right. It's about going forward, lifting up. This is tremendous commentary on life right here. And this is what the book of Psalms is about. It's telling us. It's telling, the book of Psalms is saying, the summary of the book of Psalms is, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Think of Psalm 73. The psalmist was looking at the world and says, does it pay to live for God? And then he gets into the sanctuary of God. He gets into the presence of God. And all of a sudden his eyes are opened. And no longer is he envious at the wicked. He sees the way they're going and he sees their destruction, etc. And so we have this is very important. It gives a very specific viewpoint of what the book of Psalms is saying. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. This is a summary of what the book of Psalms is saying. Now, it's important to say that. It's important to think about that because I want to put two and two together. The question is, and maybe we'll say this in Sunday school when we get there, is that what you get out of the book of Psalms? If you haven't, maybe you've missed the message. Okay? And this is an opportunity to challenge us to rethink about if we've really been reading what it says. Or we've been making it say something different. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, Psalm 119 is about the word of God. And the psalmist is saying, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, the new evangelicals, they have fake news. They've been talking about fake news for a long time, and people believe it. How many of you who love God would say, oh, it is my meditation all the day long. Oh, how I love thy law. Whoa, it sounds to me like a very, very spiritual person, doesn't it? Right? Yes. Old Testament believers who are right with God, we're spiritual people. They loved the Bible. They loved God's word. Throughout the century, anybody who is saved and walked with God delights in the law of God. And this specifically is talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are the books of the law. Those are the books of the law. And you know, it's sad to say so many people mock those books. I remember this president of Bible college one time, he said something about modesty, and he said, oh, I suppose it's in the book of Leviticus somewhere. Whew. Wow. You see what I'm saying? Isn't thy law meditates day and night? Well, this is characteristic activity of the person who is the blessed man. That tells us that's what this book of Psalms is about. Okay? This is who the book of Psalms is for. This is the God and the believer who sings these songs. That's the message. And so we have the righteous, the characteristic activity of the righteous, the one who walks with God, the one who's going to be able to sing these psalms, and who can identify with these psalms. The person who is rightly reading these psalms will come up with this analysis, and this is God's preview. Hey, this is what this is about. Now, notice, what does it mean to be blessed? It says, you know, blessed means to have God's favor on your life and my life. That's what blessed means. Blessed means to have God's favor on our life. And it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now, that's not like looking out the window there and seeing all those trees. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the typical arid, semi-desert land that was much of the part of Israel. And that the only place that there was trees and green grass was next to the rivers. You know, you go out west, and you'll go for miles and miles, and you won't see a tree, will you? The only trees you'll see are where?
Around ponds
or a river, right. And so it's saying in the arid, semi-parched world we live in, there's going to be some blessed people, okay? There's going to be some blessed people. It gives us a correct view of life. It's not, we're not talking about the Amazon jungle. We're talking about arid land that most of it is parched. And there's only a few trees. And there's only a little bit green. And the only place they are by the rivers. And this is what a believer is in this world. Okay? This is the picture of the believer in this world. And it certainly is contrary to this idea that everybody wants to be approved by the world and everything is so great and you have the world's favor. No, 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 no. This world is a parched wilderness. But in the midst of it, there are some green grass and trees. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And, you know, this isn't like magic. You know, a lot of people, they want God for magic. You know, they want everything to turn around at an instant, right? And that's what a lot of addictions programs, people go to that for once or twice because they want a miracle. They don't want a miracle. They want magic. Okay? Well, no, it says, brings forth his fruit in his season. This is the result of walking with God over the years. Over the years. You know, there's the time of winter, and there's the time of planting, and there's the time of watering and waiting and weeding, and there's the time of harvest. And the harvest only comes in its season. And the trials of life. But notice it says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is the blessed man. God's hand is upon them. You know, a lot of people recognize that even though the Jewish people aren't real close to God, they still have God's hand on them, and many of them are so brilliant, everything they do just turns out. Well, it really isn't a whole lot to do with them, and it has a lot to do with God. But this is a principle of the Christian life. You know, we all have troubles, but do you know what kind of troubles you would have if you didn't walk with God? You know what kind of troubles you would have if you didn't walk with God? There's the great principle. But it says, you know, what is our life characterized? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, but the ungodly, they're not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, their life amounts to nothing. Just blown away. You know, it doesn't amount to anything. It doesn't count for anything. It really isn't anything. And it comes to nothing. I remember, I always have these illustrations that you heard a thousand times, but I was talking to this guy at the nursery once years ago, and I was trying to witness to him, and I says, where do you work? He says, Miller Brewing Company. I'm an engineer at Miller Brewing. I've been working there for 25 years. And then he said something like this. Yeah, just think. That's what my life is counted for. Making beer. That's all my life is counted for. Making beer. He recognized it. He recognized it. Now, of course, we have the success of life, the failure of life, the blessing of God, lacking the blessing of God. And if there's any reason to forsake following the world and listening to the world, identifying with the world, is the fact that life is not blessed. It's not blessed. But the judgment. The ungodly will not stand in judgment. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Sinners aren't going to be there. They aren't going to be in the assembly of the saints. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. This is a very personal truth. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows all about us. He says, every one of your hairs is numbered. I know all about the righteous. But you know what? But the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, God loves all souls, but the relationship of the righteous. He knows the righteous. He knows the righteous. And that's all that counts. But the lost, ungodly, the wicked, they shall perish. There is a life of destruction. A great introduction to the book of Psalms. There's two kinds of people. The righteous and the ungodly. Those that are blessed by God are the righteous. Those who are like the chaff of the wind, that the wind drives away, their life is worthless, it has come to nothing, that's the ungodly. That's the view of life. So if you really were a student of the book of Psalms, it's saying that you would recognize that the ungodly are like chaff. You would have no desire to be like them, with them, or around listening to what they have to say about right and wrong and about God. So a great principle for all of us tonight. And, you know, think about it today. We certainly live in a day in which there's a lot of wickedness. We live in a day there's a lot of wickedness. There are a lot of wicked people. And it is amazing to me how many times David prays for God to take care of the wicked, to eliminate the wicked. This is a great picture of the battle of this world. And we need to have that perspective. Now, I trust that every young person would really take this passage of Scripture, memorize it, meditate on it, and it'd be right at the top of their mind. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you talk to people who their diet is MSNBC and CNN, you'll find out that they're on the opposite poles of where we are, right? They are just on opposite poles. Well, what's the Bible saying? The source of your information, who you listen to, who you respect, who you want to hear, a significant part of the pathway that you're going to take in life. Now, there are so many ways to apply this. Our time is up, but be careful, young person, what you read. Careful what you read. If you're a brilliant person and you read a lot, you could be in very dangerous ground. Ungodly people, they're going to spew out their ungodliness in what they write. And that has a tremendous effect. Who you hang around with, who you listen to, the ungodly, well, that's the first step downward. The first step downward is listening to the wrong kind of people. And we could just go on, but great psalm. The wicked and the righteous, the ungodly and the godly. That's what the book of Psalms is about. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. And I pray that, Lord, that you will help us to have this very important perspective on life. And Lord, even tonight, if there is that person who claims to be saved and is on this path downward, Lord, that by your grace and mercy, the Holy Spirit has pricked their heart, that they're somewhere on this negative path, might even tonight they repent and get to where they need to be. And Lord, I pray that it would be true, that we would judge our own lives. Do we delight in the law of the Lord? Is that truly the reality of our soul? Do we delight in your word? And Lord, if it's not, perhaps our heart is cold. Perhaps there's sin in our life. Something is distracting us. Lord, might we recognize that tonight. And so do a work in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to go to prayer. Don't forget the missionaries. At least say a prayer for one missionary, every person in your prayer group. That's so important. You are dismissed at this time.